Good morning. I bring you the greetings from all the brethren from India, especially from my hometown, Bangalore. Many of you have heard about Bangalore. Many of the brethren from the United States, they have visited several times, including lots of brethren from Chicago too. And I represent one of the four ecclesias in Bangalore. And our ecclesia has a small number, around about 24 to 25 people. We have many elders in the ecclesia. Especially you might remember Brother Daniel, and then Dr. Luke, Brother Jayappa. Of course, Brother Jayappa is no more with us. The same year, in 2003, March 18th, he passed away. And he knew that I would be coming over here, and then they all send greetings to you people. And today's subject I have chosen, as you see on the screen, it is the Edomites. The text for this Edomites has been chosen from the book of Obadiah. It is verses 10 to 15. I'll read it for you. For thy violence against thy brother Jacob, shame shall cover thee, and thou shalt be cut off forever. In the day that thou stoodst on the other side, in the day that the strangers carried away captive his forces, and foreigners entered into his gates, and cast lots upon Jerusalem, even thou wast as one of them. But thou shouldst not have looked on the day of thy brother in the day that he became a stranger, neither shouldst thou have rejoiced over the children of Judah in the day of their destruction, neither shouldst thou have spoken proudly in the day of distress. Thou shouldst not have entered into the gate of my people in the day of their calamity. Yea, thou shouldst not have looked on their affliction in the day of their calamity, nor have laid hands on their substance in the day of their calamity. Neither shouldst thou have stood in the crossway to cut off those of his that did escape. Neither shouldst thou have delivered up those of his that did remain in the day of distress. For the day of the Lord is near upon all the heathen. As thou hast done it, it shall be done unto thee. Thy reward shall return upon thine own head. After having read this text, I'd like to continue on the topic. As you see, Obadiah was a small book in the Old Testament. It has got only one chapter and a few verses, and we have read verses 10 to 15. And then Obadiah, literally it means servant or worshipper of Jehovah. And the book describes the destruction of Edom, and not only the destruction of Edom, it also describes the victories of Israel. So Edom generally represents Christendom, as many commentators have written about that. But the prophecy of Obadiah, though it nowadays, when it says about the Christendom, but I am tracing the history of the Edomites right down through ages. That is why my talk would be based entirely on their physical relationship on the face of the earth, especially in the Middle East. So Edom represents Christendom by many commentators. So this prophet Obadiah, most probably, he wrote his prophecy during the Babylonian captivity when Jerusalem was taken captive by Nebuchadnezzar. The prophecies of Edom's destruction So there are many prophecies relating to the destruction of Edom at the time when Jesus returns, that is in his second advent. So they are found in Isaiah 63, Ezekiel 35, and Obadiah, the entire chapter. So now the question arises, who is this Edom? Many a time, Edom is addressed as Timon, Bosra, and Idumea. Edom has a very interesting relationship with Israel when they existed at that time. Right from the conception of Israel, even until today. So the scriptures generally, when they say Edomites, it is centered where they lived, and that is why it is called as the land of Edom and the Edomites. So then who is Edom? So we have many prophecies about Israel and we study it, but let us try to see about Edom and its present situation. Esau is Edom in Genesis 36 chapter, first verse. I'll read it for you. Genesis 36 verse 1. Now these are the generations of Esau, who is Edom. So Esau was addressed as Edom. That's what we have to note. And this Esau, we all know that he was Jacob's twin brother. So the name So the name applied as Edom because of the red stew he sought from Jacob. This we have an interesting passage in Genesis 25th chapter 30 to 34. Genesis 25 verse 30 to 34. And Esau said to Jacob, "Feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint." Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, "Sell me this day thy birthright." And Esau said, "Behold, I am at the point to die, and what profit shall this birthright do to me?" And Jacob said, "Swear to me this day," and he swore unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. So then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink, and rose up, and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. So this is a short passage that Esau, how he sold his birthright to Jacob, and then for this reason, he loved that red pottage, he was also that because of the red stew he wanted from Jacob, he was also that color red means a proper expression about him. So Esau at birth had a very red color. This we can see in Genesis 25, chapter 25, verse 25. And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb, and the first came out red, all over like an hairy garment, and they called his name Esau. So Esau at birth had a very red color. Then, even the land of Esau, that is Edom, also was red in color, in which his descendants inhabited. You can see this, everything. And that was Esau selling his birthright to Jacob. But Edom, literally it signifies red. In Genesis 25th chapter, 30th verse, we have seen it. And Esau said to Jacob, "Feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage." So it literally means red. So, but for us, especially the Bible students, the present situation of Edom is of special interest. To some extent, it is very significant too, because in the present days, Israel has many enemies around it. Many a neighboring country are against the Holy Land. So let us quickly review and note the geographic distribution of Edom. During Jacob's 20 years of stay in the land of Haran, Esau began to settle in the land of Seir. That is recorded in Genesis 32nd chapter, 3rd verse. I would like to read it. And Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau his brother and to the land of Seir, the country of Edom. So and then this, not only they settled in the land of Seir, there Esau began to fulfill his father's blessing by beginning to live by the sword. This is recorded in Genesis 27th chapter 38 to 40. Genesis 27 verses 38 to 40. And Esau said unto his father, "Hast thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father." And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. And Isaac, his father, answered and said unto him, "Behold, thy dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth and of the dew of heaven from above." He was blessed. "And by the sword shalt thou live, and shalt serve thy brother, and it shall come to pass, when thou shalt have the dominion, that thou shalt break his yoke from off thy neck." So that is how he began to live with the sword. That proves that he was a mighty person with some mighty followers too. And not only that, his possessions were also great. This is recorded in Genesis 36 chapter verses 6 to 8. Genesis 36 verses 6 to 8. "And Esau took his wives and his sons and his daughters and all the persons of his house and his cattle and all his beasts and all his substance which he had got in the land of Canaan and went into the country from the face of his brother Jacob." So he went away from brother Jacob. "So for their riches were more than that they might dwell together, and the land wherein they were strangers could not bear them because of their cattle. So thus dwelt Esau in Mount Seir." Esau is Edom. So that's how he has been described. So later on he moved away from his brother Jacob and lived in the mountainous region of Seir. So let us see the evidence of their positions. That is Mount Seir. The whole Edom is expressed here. And that is Gaza there, the Mediterranean Sea little bit is there, Gaza is there, and that is the Dead Sea, south of Dead Sea, and then north of the Gulf of Aqaba, and that is the eastern side, the Arabian Desert, and that is the Negev. So let us see. So north, it is 100 miles from Moab downwards, that is southeast of Dead Sea, bordering the river Jered. That is river Jered. And in the southern region, to the Gulf of Aqaba, right from there to Gulf of Aqaba, it is recorded in Deuteronomy 2nd chapter 1 to 8 and also in 1st Kings 9th chapter 26. There are evidence that they lived there. I will just read one or two verses. Now, 1 Kings 9, chapter 26. "Surely I have seen yesterday..." First Kings 9:26. All right, right. I'm sorry. First Kings 9 chapter, verse 26. Yes. And King Solomon made a navy of ships in Ezion Geber. That is Ezion Geber in the Gulf of Aqaba, which is beside Eloth on the shore of the Red Sea in the land of Edom. Please note it, in the land of Edom. And in the east to the Arabian desert. That you see, in the east it is in the Arabian desert. And to the west to the Araba. That is Araba there. Araba. And then the southwest to the Negev desert. That is south and that is west. Southwest, that is the Negev desert. Next. So there is some evidence of their possessions and settlements too recorded in the Bible. So let us see in Numbers 20th chapter, 14th, verses 14 to 17, Numbers chapter 20, verses 14 to 17. And Moses sent messengers from Kadesh unto the king of Edom. Thus saith thy brother Israel, thou knowest all the travail that hath befallen us. How our fathers went down into Egypt, and we have dwelt in Egypt a long time, and the Egyptians vexed us and our fathers. And when we cried unto the Lord, he heard our voice, and sent an angel, and hath brought us forth out of Egypt. And behold, we are in Kadesh, a city in the uttermost of thy border. So let us pass, I pray thee, through thy country. We will not pass through the fields, or through the vineyards, neither will we drink of the water of the wells. We will go by the king's highway. We will not turn to the right hand nor to the left until we have passed thy borders. So that's how in the Numbers it has been recorded that when Israel wanted to pass through, it has been recorded that Edom had the plenty of vegetation, the plenty of vineyards and plenty of water also. So in Numbers 20th chapter 17 to verse 22, again there is a small passage. Let us pass, I pray thee, through thy country. We will not pass through the fields or through the vineyards, neither will we drink of the water of the wells. We will go by the king's highway. We will not turn to the right hand nor to the left until we have passed thy borders. And Edom said unto him, thou shalt not pass by me, lest I come out against thee with the sword. And the children of Israel said unto him, we will go by the highway, and if I and my cattle drink of thy water, then I will pay for it. I will only, without doing anything else, go through on my feet. And he said, thou shalt not go through. And Edom came out against him with much people and with a strong hand. Thus Edom refused to give Israel passage through his border. Wherefore Israel turned away from him, and the children of Israel, even the whole congregation, journeyed from Kadesh and came unto Mount Hor. Could you flip back the map? The map. So they could not pass through Edom. That is why they were denied their passage. So now the king's highway, which I referred was, so from the Gulf of Aqaba, that is from Ezion Geber, the king's highway, even now it is existing. It goes up like that. It goes via Timan, via Bosra, and then it enters into Syria where Damascus is present. So that king's highway, it is quite interesting to note. So Edomites, now the map. The Edomites had fortresses in Timan and Bosra and also Sela. Sela is there. They had fortresses too. So before this, we have seen the territory of Edom extended it south of Moab, that is 100 miles from south, that we have seen all these things. And then now, their settlements of fortresses and also They had lots of vegetation. You see the mountainous region, all these areas. They had ample amount of rainfall. They had vineyards. They had wells. So how they were prospering, that also has been recorded. Now, the prophecy of the fall of Edom. The prophecy of the fall of Edom. So regarding this, the prophet Jeremiah, about Edom's confidence, he says, he has recorded a statement about Edom's confidence in their strategic placement and how they would fall. So Jeremiah 49 chapter, the 7th verse and 16th verse. Concerning Edom, thus saith the Lord of hosts, is wisdom no more in Timon? Is counsel perished from the prudent? Is their wisdom vanished? And next in the 16th verse, thy terribleness that hath deceived thee, and the pride of thine heart, O thou that dwellest in the clefts of the rock, that holdest the height of the hill, though thou shouldst make thy nest as high as the eagle, I will bring thee down from thence, saith the Lord. This is quite interesting from the prophet Jeremiah. And then, the people of Edom. So they are, we know, by this we have established that the people of Edom are the descendants of Esau. Now, they were partly Semitic and partly Hivite too. So that is recorded in Genesis 36 chapter, 2nd verse and 3rd verse. I think I will read it a little. Genesis 26 verse 2 and 3. Esau took his wives of the daughters of Canaan, Adah the daughter of Elon the Hittite, and Aholibamah the daughter of Anna the daughter of Zibeon the Hivite, and Bashemath, Ishmael's daughter, sister of Nebajoth. So Semitic race, because Esau married perhaps Abraham's granddaughter through Ishmael, and then Hivite because he married Aholibamah. So there is evidence that these people, they practiced circumcision also. And we are all well aware that Muslims very strictly practice circumcision. Next. So this is an interesting point, that Edomites should not be detested or abhorred. So this has been recorded in Deuteronomy 23rd chapter. Thou shalt not abhor an Edomite, for he is thy brother. Thou shalt not abhor an Egyptian, because thou wast a stranger in his land. Even Pastor Russell also has recorded this, and he has told about this in the fourth volume in page 15, and he depicts Edomites as the symbolic Christendom. Next. So not only many other tribes surrounding Israel, like the aggressive Amalekites, even Edomites, followed a course of opposition against Israelites. During King Saul's time, there is a small passage here. So Saul took the kingdom over Israel and fought against all his enemies on every side, against Moab and against the children of Ammon and against Edom, and against the kings of Zobah and against the Philistines, and whithersoever he turned himself, he vexed them. And he gathered an host and smote the Amalekites and delivered Israel out of the hands of them that spoiled them. And then again, there is a small passage in 2 Samuel 8 chapter 14th verse, wherein these Edomites were subdued by David and Solomon too. In 2 Samuel 8 chapter 14th verse, it reads, and he put garrisons in Edom. Throughout all Edom put he garrisons. And all they of Edom became David's servants. And the Lord preserved David whithersoever he went. So the Edomites, now why I am, see all these verses I have been taking, my point is that the Edomites, they were existing even during the King David's time, King Saul's time, and in Solomon's times too. In Genesis 27, chapter 40th verse, "And by thy sword shalt thou live, and shalt serve thy brother, and it shall come to pass, when thou shalt have the dominion, that thou shalt break his yoke from off thy neck. This also is recorded. And King Solomon, who married Edomite women, made use of the Israelite army and controlled the Edomite coastal cities on the Red Sea, especially Elath and Ezion Geber, for developing shipping trade." The next. Okay. Before this, I will read a verse from the book of 1 Kings. First Kings 11:1. "But King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, and Hittites." And also in the 9th chapter, 1 Kings 9th chapter, verse 26. "And King Solomon made navy of ships in Ezion Geber, which is beside Eloth, on the shore of the Red Sea, in the land of Edom." So during the Solomon's time also, Edomites lived and they flourished. But they were subdued by Solomon and they were ruled by King Solomon. So now next, coming to their Israel, which was surrounded by Arabs, you can see in this map how Israel is pointed there. It's a small land of peace, almost in a shape of a dagger there. And then how many Islamic countries are around there? But immediately we are concerned about the immediate vicinity of Israel there. So, Arab, we can say that it is a really modern term of a few centuries. So this Arab word describes a group of nationalities beside on the religion of Islam. Their language also is Arabic. But our immediate attention is about the Arabs living around Israel. That's what I have told. So we can infer that these Arabs had their origin from Middle East and Arabia. So Middle East and Arabia, that was their center of place where they had lots of history. And then these Arab nations, there is one interesting point I would like to bring. Egypt was ruled by Pharaoh with different culture and history, but now has become an Arab nation and the leader of the Arab League. We all know during the Moses time how Israel was taken captive to the land of Egypt and how they were subdued. And you know the Egyptian culture. They were all idol worshippers, but now it has been changed. Surprisingly, it's a Muslim country and Muslims do not believe in idols. That's a point. So other Arab nations also lived around Israel, Sudan, Libya, and most North African countries too. And of course, Iran is a country mostly Muslim now, but it has a Persian origin and it's not a true Arab nation. But surprisingly, it supports the Arab cause against Israel. So now let us see the biblical Arab nations. So the term Arab is rarely used in the Bible. When used, it indicates a tribe of desert dwellers, as you see here. They were all desert dwellers called Bedouins or Sheikhs with smaller tents and then with few people together with their riches they were staying. So their special locations, that is classed as Arabs, that is Timan, Dedan, that might be Saudi Arabia, Sheba, that could be the present Oman, and Mount Seir, Edom, Idumea, Havilah, and Selah. But now, though they have different smaller countries, we can presently divide them, most precisely these Arabs, into two classes or two divisions. That is, those whose destruction was prophesied in the Bible, in the Holy Scriptures, especially in the Old Testament. So, Edom is one of them, Mount Seir, Timan, Idumea. Here, it all means the same. And then those countries who might be spared, Sheba and Dedan. This is based on Ezekiel 38. Actually, I would like to bring in a small Pastor Russell's statement. In volume 4, page 556, he says, Sheba and Dedan were descendants of Noah's son, Ham, supposed to be the original settlers of northern Africa. So that was northern Africa. Now, next. We all know what a catastrophe just 2 years ago we had. And then a couple of days ago, all of us, we have seen this as a beautiful presentation, where was God on 9/11. So after the 9/11 destruction by these fundamentalists, they brought down a big calamity, but the entire world has caught up this catastrophe, and the entire nations world over, they are more worried about this fundamentalists. So now, by saying fundamentalists, we can definitely say that the Islamic nations were divided into two divisions. One, the pro-Western, and then the pro-Islamic fundamentalists. In the pro-Western, we have seen a small history. Back in 1990, Gulf War, Kuwait, in order to expand, Iraq, in order to expand, it took up Kuwait. And it attacked Saudi Arabia also, and Bahrain was also attacked. And Israel also was attacked. But they were defended by UN and Western forces. And we all know how the Western forces gave the independence to the Kuwait people. And now Kuwait is an independent country now. They are enjoying their independence now. So now, coming back to the pro-Islamic fundamentalists, in the 1990 Gulf War, Libya, Iran, and Palestinians were against Israel and Western forces. Libya also joined, Iran also supported, and the Palestinians, you know, they were the arch enemy, number one. And they were against Israel and also the Western forces. So now, there is a scriptural division which I would like to bring in to your notice. In the Arab states and ranks, we have Jokshan, the sixth descendant from Noah, settled in oil-rich eastern states of Arabs. That is recorded in Genesis 10th chapter, 25 to 30 onwards. So this Arabian desert, and then to the east of these places, the eastern states of Arabs, so these settlements was there. And Abraham's descendants, through Ishmael, the father of Arabs, were the poorer desert-dwelling Arabs in Genesis 25th chapter 12 to 18, and also in 16th chapter 12th verse. Just I will read that. And unto Eber were born two sons. The name of one was Peleg, for in his days was the earth divided, and his brother's name was Joktan. And Joktan begat Almodad and Sheleph and Hazarmaveth and Jerah and Hadoram and Uzal and Dikla and Obal and Abimael and Sheba and Ophir and Havilah and Jobab. All these were the sons of Shoktan, and their dwelling was from Mesha, as thou goest unto Sephar, a mount of the east, that is of the east of the land of Edomites and that place. In Genesis 25th chapter, verses 12 to 18, again, now these are the generations of Ishmael, Abraham's son, whom Hagar the Egyptian, Sarah's handmaid, bare unto Abraham. And these are the names of the sons of Ishmael by Ishmael: Nebajoth and Kedar and Abdil and Mibsan and Mishma and Duma and Massa, Hadar and Tima, Jetur, Naphish and Kedema. These are the sons of Ishmael, and these are the names by their towns and by their castles, 12 princes according to their nations. 12 princes according to their nations. And these are the years of the life of Ishmael, and 137 years. And he gave up the ghost and died, and was gathered unto his people, and they dwelt from Havilah unto Shur, that is before Egypt, as thou goest toward Assyria. And he died in the presence of all his brethren. So this has, now we have seen the Abraham's household through Ishmael, whom we can safely call the father of Arabs, and they were the poorer people who were dwelling in the deserts. And then surprisingly, we know that they too had 12 kings of their own. And perhaps when we say the 12 kings, they must have had some 12 small places for themselves to rule. So all of these people, they were around the Holy Land. In Genesis 16, chapter 12, verse, we see about Ishmael. It's also noted that he would be a wild and fearful man. And he will be a wild man. His hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him, and he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. So this proves how Ishmael is also noted as a wild man. So then, all the descendants, where do they fit in the modern Arab nations? So Mount Seir, south of Dead Sea, as we have seen, to Aqaba. And then Seir becomes another name of Edom. Genesis 36 chapter 8 and verse 8 and 9. Genesis 36 verse 8 and 9. Thus dwelt Esau in Mount Seir. Esau is Edom. And these are the generations of Esau, the father of the Edomites, in Mount Seir. So that's how it has been addressed there. And in Ezekiel 35th chapter also, it has been mentioned about Edomites. And then Edom and Bosra, it has been mentioned in Isaiah 63rd chapter 1st verse. And also in the book of Obadiah in the 9th verse, he has been addressed as Timan. And also in Ezekiel 35th chapter 15th verse, I think I'll read it. Ezekiel 35, verse 15. As thou didst rejoice at the inheritance of the house of Israel because it was desolate, so will I do unto thee. Thou shalt be desolate, O Mount Seir, and all Idumea, even all of it, and they shall know that I am the Lord. So Idumea also is addressed as Mount Seir. And thereby, we can call it also, they were the descendants of Edomites. So all of these are the south and southwest of Israel. Maybe perhaps precisely below the Dead Sea. So now, we remember that when Israelites were coming from the wilderness, there was a small relationship between the Edomites and Israelites. There was a small happening there. So Edomites denies the passage for Israel to go through their land. It is recorded in Judges 11 chapter 17th and 18th verse. Judges 11th chapter. Verses 17 and 18. Then Israel sent messengers unto the king of Edom, saying, "Let me, I pray thee, pass through thy land." But the king of Edom would not hearken thereto, and in like manner they sent unto the king of Moab, but he would not consent, and Israel abode in Kadesh. Then they went along through the wilderness, and compassed the land of Edom, and the land of Moab, and came by the east side of the land of Moab, and pitched on the other side of Arnon, but came not within the border of Moab, for Arnon was the border of Moab. So this all happened during King Jephthah's time. So Jephthah, he was to lead Israel when they were in danger. So Jephthah, when he was invited by the elders of Gilead, so then when Israelites wanted to pass through, then the Edomites, they refused it. So this is also a record during that time also. So later, King David subdued the Edomites. And now, during the Babylonian captivity, when Israel was taken captive by Nebuchadnezzar, Edom moved from the south to east of the Dead Sea, the present Jordan, into Hebron on the west of the Dead Sea to fill the vacuum left by Israel until the period when Ezra and Nehemiah came to restore the temple. So that was the Dead Sea, and that is the Gulf of Aqaba, and that would be the land of Edom. And when Israel, in their first captivity, when King Nebuchadnezzar came and took them, the defeated Israel, and destroyed the temple and took them captive to Babylon, there was a vacuum created by the absence of the Israeli people. So these Edomites, they went to Jordan, they went to the south of, they went to the east of the Dead Sea, to Hebron and all these places, and then they started living there. So later these people somehow survived and continued to be in the Holy Land. And history records that in this period, the Maccabees were present in and around Jerusalem and were defending it. So until 100 BC, Edomites moved and settled in the south of Israel. Then three important things happened, and we have to note that. That is, the number one is the Edomites moved and settled in the south of Israel, and their territory was known as Idumea, and Edomites were known as Idumeans. And then in the third point, they were subdued by the Maccabees and were encouraged to convert to a form of Judaism. So this suggests that they lived around that time too. So there is a picture that is how Judas Maccabees frees Jerusalem. So we all know, during the time of Maccabees, the entire Palestine was ruled by the Romans. The Romans had completely occupied, and they were ruling the Palestinian area. And then the Israelites, under the subjection of the Roman rule, they had to revolt to protect their holy city, Jerusalem. So, at that time, that the Maccabees played a big part, and during that Maccabees period, when they revolted against Jerusalem, the Romans tried to subdue them too. So these Maccabees, they fled to the hills where they found the Edomites. And the Edomites, by fear of extermination by the hands of Maccabees, they too joined and accepted a form of Judaism. That's what it is written. Then during the Roman period, finally, Israel was destroyed in AD 70. That was just after a little while after the death of Christ. So then again, Idumeans, they had a heyday for themselves. They spread throughout Israel. So we have an interesting point. The house of Herod was an Idumean. And Herod, how he tried to kill Jesus. And this was an attempt of Edom to eliminate Jesus and Christianity. And we all remember how Herod slaughtered many Jewish babies, all the male ones. And this is a significant point in our history, and this shows the original conflict of Jacob and Esau. We can see that it was an original conflict coming down through the ages. Now let us see the present state. Edomites, now we have something to think back when we have seen through the history, right from the birth of Esau down to these ages. They never left the Holy Land, and they lived as descendants, and they flourished in some form or other, and they lived around and within Israel. And we can conclude that they never left the Holy Land and also continued to live in Jerusalem even now too. So now the slaughtering the present Jewish people in their quest for territory. Now coming to Jordan, about a few years ago, 70% of them were Palestinians. And we all remember the late King Hussein of Jordan. Many of us, we respect him because he was an ally. So King Hussein, though Palestinians were present in his land, he never gave them an identity as Jordanians. He demarked them, he marked them separately by stamping in their passports as Palestinian living in Jordan. So that shows some of the Jordanians who are present there, they are not true Palestinians, and some, might be some majority, they are the Palestinians. So King Hussein, he did try and he did separated their identities. So now, not only in Jordan, these people, they are in Hebron too, and in Bosra, Timan and Mount Seir are located south of Jordan and the Dead Sea, and also in Hebron. Now you can see all the places where they are there. So now all these geographical areas are closely associated presently with Palestinian. That's the point there. So now Israel, it is very difficult for Israel to avoid confrontation with them. Well, we all know Israel has their rightful place. We all know that how they got their independence in 1948. Though the Balfour Declaration was a little, a few years earlier to that. But they did come back to their country, Israel, in 1948. They are living there. They are defending their Jerusalem. And of course, they call themselves, as we all know, the Jews. So now they are finding it very difficult for the confrontation from Israel. So is there any answer for this? For all these things what we are in Obadiah 10th verse. Oh. In Obadiah 10th verse we read, in the day that thou stoodst on the other side, in the day that the strangers carried away captive his forces, and foreigners entered into his gates, and cast lots upon Jerusalem, even thou wast as one of them. So So now when we think about their violence against thy brother, we can turn to a passage in Numbers 20th chapter, verses 20 to 21. Numbers 20. Numbers 20th chapter, yes, verses 20 to 21. And he said, thou shalt not go through. And Edom came out against him with much people and with a strong hand. Thus Edom refused to give Israel passage through his border, wherefore Israel turned away from him. And again, when we see how Edom is going to be destroyed, in Obadiah 11th verse, we read, in that day, that thou stoodst on the other side, in the day that the strangers carried away captive his forces and foreigners entered into his gates and cast lots upon Jerusalem, even thou wast as one of them. See, I would like to recall one more verse in Genesis 27 chapter 41st verse, wherein Esau had a grudge against Jacob. Genesis 27 verse 41. And by thy sword shalt thou live, and shalt serve thy brother, and it shall come to pass when thou shalt have the dominion, that thou shalt break his yoke from off thy neck. So definitely, they have a yoke upon their neck, and he's trying to break it. And then he's trying to attack. And then he says, that's how it. So in Obadiah 11th verse we have read, now we turn back to the book of 2 Kings, 25th chapter, 9th verse, when Jerusalem was destroyed, Edom was a spectator. Ninth verse. And he burnt the house of the Lord, and the king's house, and all the houses of Jerusalem, and every great man's house burnt he with fire. And then again in Psalms 137 verse 7. It is written, remember, O Lord, the children of Edom in the day of Jerusalem, who said, raise it, even to the foundation thereof. So that was the type of relationship they had on Jerusalem. In Obadiah 12th to 14th verses, we read, but thou shouldst not have looked on the day of thy brother in the day that he became a stranger. Neither should thou have rejoiced over the children of Judah in the day of their destruction. Neither shouldst thou have spoken proudly in the day of distress. Thou shouldst not have entered into the gate of my people in the day of their calamity. Yes, thou should not have looked on their affliction in the day of their calamity, nor have laid hands on their substance in the day of their calamity. Neither shouldst thou have stood in the crossway to cut off those of his that did escape. Neither shouldst thou have delivered up those of his that did remain in the day of distress. Now, I have a small passage in the prophecy of Micah, 4th chapter, 11th verse. Micah 4th chapter, 11th verse. Now also many nations are gathered against thee that say, let her be defiled, and let our eye look upon Zion. And in the 7th chapter in Micah, verses 8 to 10, rejoice not against me, O mine enemy, when I fall. I shall arise when I sit in darkness. The Lord shall be a light unto me. I will bear the indignation of the Lord because I have sinned against him until he plead my cause and execute judgment for me. He will bring me forth to the light and I shall behold his righteousness. Then she that is mine enemy shall see it and shame shall cover her which said unto me, where is the Lord thy God? Mine eyes shall behold her. Now shall she be trodden down as the mire of the streets. So now Israel must have a just recompense. In Obadiah 15th verse, for the day of the Lord is near upon all the heathen, as thou hast done, it shall be done unto thee. Thy reward shall return upon thine own head. Now turn to the book of Ezekiel, 34th chapter, verses 14 and 15. 34 verses 14 and 15. I will feed them in a good pasture, and upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There shall they lie in a good fold, and in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. So eventually, God will protect Israel. Now let us turn to Isaiah 63rd chapter, verses 1 to 5. Who is this that cometh from Edom, with dyed garments from Bosra? This that is glorious in his apparel, travelling in the greatness of his strength. I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Wherefore art thou red in thine apparel, and thy garments like him that treadeth in the wine fat? I have trodden the winepress alone, and of the people there was none with me, for I will read them in mine anger, and trample them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will stain all my raiment. For the day of vengeance is in mine heart, and the year of my redeemed is come. And I looked, and there was none to help, and I wondered that there was none to uphold. Therefore mine own arm brought salvation unto me, and my fury it upheld. So we know who it is. It is Jesus. So now we can have a small conclusion. Presently, the world and the UN, along with the Western powers, are thinking of the future of Jerusalem, as we all know. It is almost being discussed every other day in every nation, but the struggle between the PLO and Israel is continuing and increasing every day. Almost every brother, when he opens up his papers early in the morning in the news, he has something, some news about the Palestinians and the Israel and their conflict. So now, the main players are in the field. And then, we are watching the prophecies, and it is happening. May God bless this morning.